Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
The Christian faith in God, the one blessed Trinity. The Christian faith in God, the one blessed Trinity. That, dear friends, is our theme for today's Banner of Truth broadcast. To be truthful with you, I feel both most inadequate to preach on this subject and yet also most enthused to preach on this theme. I mean, when thinking of and considering the matter of God being one God in three persons, and three persons yet one God, that is a subject of unfathomable mystery and infinite depths and heights, way beyond our finite comprehension. Still, inasmuch as you and I can understand it and grow in believing and adoring and serving God as triune God, oh, how much foundation and blessing and confidence and joy this doctrine may surely give us. God being the triune God is a key doctrine of the Christian faith, never to lose sight of if it is well with our soul. The aim of the message is then that you and I truly appreciate and adore and advance this gospel doctrine of God being triune God. For sure, any true and growing worship and praise to the Lord in our lives is very related to confessing Him as triune God, blessed Trinity. One God, yes, clearly and definitely only one God, yet in three distinct persons, with the persons being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons are equal also in every way, with no person of the three less than another at any time in any way. However, while maintaining this, we also must say God the Father is always first, and God the Son always second, and God the Holy Spirit always third in the works and ways of God. Each divine person of the Trinity has their own specific rank and work, but all the Trinity is always mutually involved in and with everything God ever does, whether in regards to creation, or in regards to the care of His creation in providence, or in regards to redemption and recreation. Again, there is so much mystery and marvel in and with this all, with God triune, we never can get to the bottom of it, but yet enough can be understood to realize and rejoice in God triune as just so infinitely wonderful and most perfect, one only true God, indeed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For true Christians, the teaching of God being the triune God is essential to the Christian faith and the gospel message, something also taught in the three Christian ecumenical creeds, the so-called Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed. That last mentioned, the Athanasian Creed, states, quote, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance, for there is one person of Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. Then at the very end of the lengthy, detailed Athanasian Creed, you have these final lines. This is the Catholic faith, meaning universal Christian faith, nothing to do with Roman Catholic. This is the Catholic, that is, universal Christian faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. Yes, dear friends, this is Orthodox Christian teaching, bringing out how important and crucial this doctrine of the Trinity really is for us. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it is the gospel of salvation from the one triune God over all. And now to proclaim this gospel of the triune God of salvation more concretely in the remainder of our time, let us consider further the following 3 points about the Trinity. First, the sure basis of God being triune God. The sure basis. Second, the supreme beauty of God being triune God. The supreme beauty. And third, the special benefits of God being triune God. The special benefits. When we speak of the sure basis of God being triune, immediately we have to say the revelation of this truth about God is not of ourselves. No human being could ever have come up with it, not even in our highly advanced technical and computer world of today. The teaching of God being triune God is of divine origin, and no one in all the world could ever have thought up this gospel truth and glorious reality about God being triune God. This also explains how in every false religion and sect and cult from man's own making, there is no belief in the triune God, and in fact always denial and disbelief of this glorious, unfathomable gospel reality. The doctrine of the Trinity, dear friends, comes from the Bible alone, God's holy, inspired, infallible word. That is the sure basis, and it is sure because it is in God's word, and God's word is clear, and God's word is the absolute truth. Oh, this Christian conviction about this one only true God is not a development from philosophical reasoning, but more a matter of sound reflection from the facts of God's holy word in all the Bible. While the Old Testament gives many hints of the truth about God being triune, it emphasizes more that God is one God, and the New Testament, with Jesus the Savior, brings out more, this one God is clearly and essentially and always and wonderfully triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As one put it, quote, "The doctrine of the Trinity was not revealed as a series of man-made sentences or propositions, but it was God's work of salvation which finally made it clear." The sure basis, then, of the doctrine of the Trinity is simply God's holy word in all its 66 books, the Old and New Testament together. Question and answer 25 of the 16th century Heidelberg Catechism brings this out too, faithfully and profoundly even, when it teaches in regards to the Trinity, quote, "Since there is but one only divine essence, why do you speak of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Answer, because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God." What a powerful, childlike faith answer is here given to us, dear friends. And now to show indeed some of the biblical basis further for the Trinity, let me simply read to you Article 9 of the 1561 Belgic Confession, which article gives the scriptural basis for this key Christian doctrine, quoting many texts. The article says then, in defense of God being one God in three persons, quote, "All this we know, as well from the testimonies of Holy Writ," meaning Holy Scripture, "as from their operations, and chiefly by those we feel in ourselves. The testimonies of the Holy Scriptures that teach us to believe this Holy Trinity are written in many places of the Old Testament, which are not so necessary to enumerate as to choose them out with discretion and judgment. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God says, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness,' etc. So God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And Genesis 3, verse 22 says, 'Behold, the man is become as one of us.' From this saying, 'Let us make man in our image,' it appears that there are more persons than one in the Godhead. And when he says God created, he signifies the unity. It is true, he does not say how many persons there are, but that which appears to us somewhat obscure in the Old Testament is very plain in the New. For when our Lord was baptized in Jordan, the voice of the Father was heard, saying, "This is my beloved Son." The Son was seen in the water, and the Holy Ghost appeared in the shape of a dove. This form is also instituted by Christ in the baptism of all believers. Baptize all nations in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel thus addressed Mary, the mother of our Lord. "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One, which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God." Likewise, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, we read in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, we read in 1 John. In all which places we are fully taught, you see, that there are three persons in one only divine essence. And although this doctrine far surpasses all human understanding, nevertheless, we now believe it by means of the Word of God, but expect hereafter to enjoy the perfect knowledge and benefit thereof in heaven. Moreover, we must observe the particular offices and operations of these three persons toward us. The Father is called our Creator by His power. The Son is our Savior and Redeemer by His blood. The Holy Spirit is our Sanctifier by His dwelling in our hearts. This doctrine of the Holy Trinity has always been defended and maintained, says this article of the Christian Faith, Article 9, by the true Church, since the time of the apostles, to this very day, against the Jews and Mohammedans and some false Christians and heretics as Marcion, Manus, Praxius, Sabellius, Samosatinus, Arius, and such like, who have been justly condemned by the Orthodox fathers. Therefore, in this point, we do willingly receive the three creeds, namely that of the apostles, and of Nicaea, and of Athanasius. Likewise, that which, conformable thereto, is agreed upon by the ancient fathers. End of quote. This article, dear friends, of Christian teaching is part of the Reformation heritage, from the faithful back to the Bible preachers and teachers of the 16th century. The following two articles of that same confession, Article 11 and 12, go on to show from Scripture how both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are each definitely true and eternal God, together with the Father. The Scriptures ascribe very clearly in different places divine names and divine characteristics and divine worship and divine works to not only God the Father, but also to Jesus, God the Son, and to God the Holy Spirit as well. You can't carefully and prayerfully read the Bible without learning there is only one true God, and that one true God is God triune, God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to see now further how important and glorious it is to maintain and hold on to this amazing, wonderful truth about the God of the Bible, the only true God that exists, let us go now to our second point, moving from the sure basis of this doctrine to the supreme beauty of this doctrine, that God is triune God. Again, with this second point about the supreme beauty of the triune God, the challenge is to limit what is said now. But consider with me how, because of the indisputable fact that God is triune God, we can know for certain the following beautiful gospel truths. For one, how endlessly independent is God truly. You see, exactly because God is triune God, one God in three persons, in three distinct persons, we can be most certain of Him never needing anything or anyone outside of Himself. God can be eternal love and goodness and everlasting wisdom and justice and joy all within His triune being. From eternity to eternity, the one only God revealed to us in the Bible needs no one or nothing outside of His infinite, delightful, everlasting triune being. How different this is from the gods of man's own making. When you deny that God is triune, you in fact make a God somehow, some way, dependent on others. For example, a single God of one person only can't be loving, really, without an object of love. So that God, if he's only one person, he has to find an object of love and become dependent on people like us, or whatever, to show love and to be loved. But you see, the God of the Bible is not like this. In his triune being, there is endless, eternal self-sufficiency. And it all makes so much sense when you understand and believe what the Bible teaches, that God is God triune. One only God in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not only does the teaching of the Trinity help us understand how God can be and is endlessly independent, but it helps us understand, too, how endlessly wonderful God is in himself and by himself. The Bible teaches us God is so infinitely kind and good and just and pure and righteous and loving and happy in all his works and ways. And just remembering how the Godhead in the three persons thereof enjoy this everlasting, intimate, divine life together in perfect unity and harmony in the midst of immeasurable, perfect diversity too. Oh, that just helped make it so much clearer, doesn't it? What a great and glorious God is the Lord our God, the triune God of the Bible, the God fully revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Who can tell and describe the eternal bond of infinite love and trust and joy within the Godhead between the three distinct persons of the Trinity? Honestly, because God is triune, as the Bible teaches us, you and I have every reason to believe in the one only true God, in his eternal existence and everlasting goodness and glory. Any God who is less than triune is, by virtue of that fact, not a wonderful God, nor a self-sufficient God, or a believable God, really. It's always most unreasonable and foolhardy to believe in the idol gods of man's making, while forever most reasonable to believe in the one triune God of the Bible, however unfathomable he is to us of ourselves. Dear friends, don't let the doctrine of the Trinity be for you just a meaningless mystery, but rather a meaningful marvel. For truly it is most marvelous, proving God to be indeed eternally independent God and eternally wonderful God. Surely, thinking of God triune, don't we have to say also he is superbly exceptional? Again, here it is important to state the Christian God is not like any God of this world. The triune God of the Bible is unique and incomparable to all else, and even the many attempts to illustrate the Trinity from things in this world and in our lives just utterly fails fully to describe him. When people then compare the God of the Bible to the idol gods of man's own wicked devising, how sad and wrong they are in insisting all religions really worship the same God. Recently, when in a place in Canada, a church building was bought by a Muslim group to change into a mosque. A so-called Christian minister then stated, quote, "I am delighted it will remain as a place of worship. I believe we only have one God. Some see it as the Prophet Muhammad, and others as Jesus, and that is all fine and well." Oh, but you see, this is in total contradiction, saying that, and in denial of the one true God of the Bible, the triune God. What an offense and blasphemous evil to compare the Christian God to the monotheist, unfeeling idol God of the Jews or of the Muslims, or to the polytheist gods of Buddhism and Hinduism, or to the false monotheist God of the Mormons and of the Jehovah Witness. Our God, the Christian's triune God, listen, is the God forever infinitely incomparable and incomprehensible, and that makes him not less desirable, but more desirable, not less believable, but more believable. What? Will you serve a God little different than yourself? Or rather believe in the one only true God, God triune, so superbly exceptional and exceptionally superb, uniquely so, that always he is greater than you or I can ever imagine him to be. How utterly foolish and wicked to turn from him, the one only true God revealed to us in the Bible, to the false and lifeless, useless, senseless idol gods of man's own making, found all throughout this world, this fallen world. How important in this regard to take care to have and to maintain belief and understanding of God being triune God, and seeing something of the sure basis for this gospel truth and the supreme beauty thereof. How many and various and subtle and sly are the relentless attacks against the doctrine of God being triune God. The early church wrestled through this key doctrine for us against many heresies, and we have their prayerful, carefully constructed, biblically balanced confessional statements about the Trinity in the ecumenical creeds and 16th and 17th century Reformation creeds, which we do well to treasure much and not to waver from. It is so easy to err in one way or another about the precise, marvelous, unfathomable doctrine of the triune God. But may God keep you and me faithful, dear friends, in truly believing and loving and defending the precious Christian doctrine of God being triune God, as taught to us in the Holy Bible. Yes, not only because of its sure basis and supreme beauty, but notice yet its special benefits or splendid blessings. And again, I can only be so very brief now, but because God is triune God, dear friends, therefore everything in the Bible can make so much more sense, and being cared for by the God of the Bible becomes so much more awesome. I am created by the one true God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in one Godhead, but three distinct persons. I am cared for by this same triune God in the daily providences of life, day and night. And most wonderful of all, when by grace through faith I am a Christian, I have God triune as my precious Father, and my blessed Savior, and my wonderful Comforter altogether, and also in and with and each person in a special way. The gospel tidings of God seeking and saving sinners, sending his only begotten Son for this otherwise hopeless mission, is so great. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's only beloved Son from eternity, so willingly coming here and going to the cross of Calvary and giving his life a ransom for many. Oh, how wonderful! And then to the gospel of God, the Holy Spirit, being sent forth from the Father and the Son to minister in divine might and grace this rich gospel of salvation in the minds and hearts of elect sinners for whoever repents and believes. Oh, it is just so powerful and most incredible indeed. It shows us something of the infinite wisdom and love and goodness and justice and holiness and grace and power of the one only true God, Savior God, as could otherwise never be known or shown to us. The triune God of salvation is the God who is out to save sinners and have them, each of his redeemed ones, yes, to know and participate even in the divine wonder and joy and glory of the triune God himself. The salvation of totally depraved sinners becomes so much more grand and gracious and sure and glorious when thinking of it involving the electing, drawing love of God the Father towards us, and of the saving, redeeming love of God the Son for us, and of the almighty, patient, loving ministry of God the Holy Spirit in us. It is amazing and astounding who the God of salvation is for us as triune God, and what he has done and does do and yet will do for us as triune God of salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. thinking too of the pursuit of perfect unity and perfect diversity in our fallen world. Oh, where can it really be and wonderfully be discovered and embraced and reflected but from our triune God of creation and redemption and recreation? Oh, this fallen, blind world is awash in terrible imbalance and chaos on every front because of not knowing and rejecting the one only God, the triune God of the Bible. Oh, that the Christian church would proclaim and prize once again the God of the Bible in his triune being and grace and glory as revealed especially in Christ Jesus. Isn't this something to pray and care about also in our perilous times? Don't let the doctrine of the Trinity become a matter of outdated formulas, but rather living, loving, throbbing Christian gospel truth for you and me. For that is what it is, truly, and why God reveals himself so to us in his holy word. Here, just think of Jude, verses 20 to 21. It's the second last book of the Bible, encouraging all true Christians there, in distinction from all unbelievers and the heathen. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You see, all three persons of the Trinity mentioned there as essential and necessary in becoming and remaining true Christians focused on God and his love, his saving love. Are you too, by God's grace, so living in spirit and truth, believing in and relying upon the one true God, God triune? In Jesus' name, I call and invite all of you listening to this broadcast truly to know and believe in the one only true God, and that he is a triune God. Indeed, to enjoy him as such. If you won't believe this teaching, it means disowning Scripture and denying God and remaining unsaved. May the glory of the faithful Christian doctrine of the Trinity so attract you and me and bless us and strengthen us in the Christian faith and testimony while we live our brief earthly journey now. Oh, are you in agreement with such glowing Christian testimony too, concerning the one only God, the blessed Trinity? Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.